Episode 183. Welcome to Steel and Naz, presented by Hedge Better. We're here once again. Steel and Naz, the ritual here. No Magic Mike tonight. Anton's only a weekend guy, and who knows where Showtime is.
Yeah, a weekend guy.
Yeah. if I didn't mention, today's Wednesday, March 5th. We're sponsored by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Just saw, like, on the Foley horizon, there was a, is it 100 year? It was a
116th.
116th year of J.J. Foley's. I saw Mayor Michelle Wu came in. I think that was today or yesterday. Took a nice picture with the Foley's.
Yeah, I only saw the social media. Had I known that was like a thing, would have been at a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Absolutely whiffed on that one.
Yeah, honestly, the best. They probably had a better time without us.
Yeah. But I had a worse time without them.
Yeah, that's true. We'll get down to brass tacks tonight. No, I'm just fucking around. The Bruins trade deadline. Are they sellers? I would say so at this point. Just got rid of Trent Frederick yesterday. I think a couple more guys are in the block. But the real question is, after, you know, 15, 16 years, are they ready to get rid of Brad Marchand? And we'll get into that. NFL buzz, whenever we can get it, we'll bring it to you. Wide receiver one on the horizon. As a couple, you know, guys go to free agency, get released from their teams. We'll give you who we think would be the best fit for the New England Patriots. Honestly, you know, sneak preview, anyone at this point, but
yes, correct.
Celtics lose a tough one at Cleveland after winning the whole game, take down the Joker Sunday, and they're currently they're up 11 against the Trailblazers, who have struggled this year. So the real question is, does that game in particular, did it make you kind of fearful more of, you know, can teams knock them off come postseason play? UFC 313.
Big one.
Picks. We got Pereira on Kolev, right? Mm-hmm. What is that, the pronunciation?
Yes.
I'm pretty bad at UFC pronunciations. I've seen him fight before. He's a fucking dog.
It's not that you're bad. Like, some of those names are just, they're creative.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
I saw Justin Gaethje's the co-main event against some base from User Backerstan.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. All right. Baseball minute, Garrett Crochet there. 7 strikeouts today in spring training. I'll give you my takes on, you know, what I've seen so far. And, you know, it's a young spring training. So, you know, fruit for thought here. And then we're going to hop into the 5 questions presented by Patrick J. Foley. I think outside of football season, we're just going to dive this every week. And then I got a little bit update of a couple TV movie recommendations. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Before we get started, a little local flavor here. I really want to call it out. I have to call it out.
What do we got?
Chipotle,
oh God.
Great. Not bad, like, establishment there. The one located on Newport Ave, just get rid of it. I'm all done with it.
Done.
It's not meant for the clientele. It's honestly not even the people's fault. They should bring back the roof, like the Henry's Root Beer stand or something that's not going to do as good. Located 60 Newport Avenue, Quincy, Mass. 02171. I'm talking directly to you. It's just like you're going to be waiting on Newport Ave just to get in. There's people just like in the way. You can't drive all the way through. And then when you go in there, you just get mobbed every day. They have no guacamole. They have no cheese. They don't have shit. The last 2 times I've been there, I've had to stop in that Stop and Shop just to get chips and guacamole. You can't be doing that.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I haven't been to that Chipotle in a very long time. I haven't had Chipotle in ages, to be honest.
And you live right down the street from there. Should tell you everything.
Yeah.
Should tell you everything.
If you do, parking-wise, Stop and Shop, across the street.
Yeah, no.
Just walk right across.
That's fair.
But everything else is correct, though.
Yeah.
Place is shit. I haven't been there in a very long time.
But even, like, you look at different locations, like the one in Hingham, even the one in Randolph, where, like, I don't know, most fast food joints in Randolph aren't that, well, one in Randolph, top-notch.
Top-notch,
top-notch.
Really? I haven't tried the Randolph Chipotle.
Yeah. So, even, actually, the one in Braintree had to go, too. Just bring the one on Newport Ave with you, please. The workers, let them get other jobs at other locations.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the Braintree one was like, because like they tried to make that into a real fucking like restaurant. And it was like, this is a mall Chipotle.
Yeah, it's a tough go.
Yeah, like, let's take it easy. Like, the only thing was huge.
Yeah, the only thing worth a damn at the mall nowadays is Cheesecake Factory. And I'm not even like big on that. I just like how the menus, there's like a million things you choose from.
Are you slandering Saku Japan?
No, but I bet we've all been there, done that. You know, we...
Don't you dare.
And that's kind of my local flavor rant of the week. Maybe I'll bring on some more, but that was really bugging me all week. I was kind of like,
tough scenes.
We've been recording bi-weekly. I've been sitting on that for like 2 weeks.
Oh, God. God, that hurts. No guacs. So, like, what else? Did they skimp you?
No, actually, nah. Because I'm like double. I'm double. Oh, guy. Yes, you got to be double.
Of course. Of course.
No, you will get skimped at Chipotle if you don't ask for double. Like, just pay the extra $4, whatever the hell it is, and go on with your life. Ugh. All right.
Breathe.
All right.
Yeah, breathe.
Speaking of shit I need to breathe about, the Boston Bruins dropped another tough one to the Nashville Predators 6-3 last night. Pretty dominant fashion. I mean, they stayed in it kind of to the third period and then just got paced. Jeremy Swayman didn't look too good. But also, no one really helped them regardless. And the big questions surround the team right now. You know, they're sitting at right currently... They are at least 2 points out of the wild card spot, but that sounds a lot better than it actually is because there's like five other teams fighting for that one spot, and every team has at least 2 games in hand on them. Their last 10, they are 3-5-2. Not really what you want to see there. I mean, I just feel like they're going to be sellers at the deadline. Every guy on this team, I think, is expendable outside. You know, you have to keep Pastrnak and... I even think the goalie's on the table, but I don't think it'll happen.
No, yeah, I don't think the goalie's on the table. I think, yeah, like McAvoy and Pasta won't be touched.
McAvoy too, yeah.
But everyone else is absolutely up there. Brad, I think that's an offer thing. Like if some team that's like all in gives a fucking crazy offer for Brad Marchand, they might do it.
First round pick, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
But that for a 36-year-old.
36 you know going I mean? On 37, and he just got hurt. He's going to be out the next probably 2 to 3 weeks.
And he's had hip surgeries and everything.
Yeah, it just does not sound, unless you can get it on
a
flyer.
I expect him to be back, personally.
No, that's why I think that injury the other day helped the Bruins fans' cases of keeping him. Because I think they have a better chance of signing him in the offseason. Like, he's a better chance of leaving within the next couple days than he does in the offseason, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Because he's going to do a team-friendly deal. He's sitting at 37 years old. He has already said he wants to retire with the team, so he clearly doesn't care about, like... he obviously wants to win, but if this team's not set up to win right now...
No,
we'll see what happens.
But you'll have to, like, pry him out of the fucking Bruins jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not going
to
leave.
No, exactly, and I think he, you know, deserves to... to finish in the uniform and everything like that, but yeah, if a team throws a first round pick at you for what's the month for 2 months of the season, do it. I think you know your future. He's not going to do anything for the rest of the season, so I don't think anyone's going to give him first round pick. Though.
You could pull a Yankees with Chapman,
get him back,
sign him right back in the offseason.
Who's that? Was that the Cubbies?
Yeah, Gleyber Torres also gone,
and they won. Oh, and Gleyber Torres.
No, like they, like the Cubs did win. Like it did work for the Cubs.
But the Cubs had Gleyber Torres, so that was a yard sale.
Yeah.
So they ended up winning that deal.
Yeah.
Yep. But I mean, Cubs won. So I mean, back to the
exactly.
Hockey.
Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, carry on is right. So they have a tough schedule coming up. They have the Hurricanes. I think they have the Lightning and
then they hit West Coast
in
the
Florida. And then you have, well, Buffalo hasn't been good, but yeah, you're right. Vegas, San Jose, LA, Anaheim. Yeah, so they hit the West. So, I mean, by then, that's probably going to tell where your season's going to be at, if you're still going to be in the hunt or you're out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, they definitely need a bit of a reset. I mean, and I like you said, everyone on the trading block, I think Geeky has never looked better. So,
yeah, I mean,
trade him. You're going to get a lot more for Geeky right this moment than you would have last offseason.
Him and Pavel Zaka, easy trade bid. I don't think I personally hate Zaka. I think he's the worst player probably on the team, maybe in the fucking sport.
You've really been missing that fucking goal fucking bet.
Well, I've been to a game in a couple months, so it's not really running through my veins right now.
He was your favorite at one point.
But Morgan Geeky and Pavel Zaka easily could be on the trading block. I take that back. Nikita Zadorov is the worst hockey player I've ever seen.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. He's not tradable.
But we talk about all the time.
Trash.
Like I said last week, Marcus Delek has had a great year. For what we expected of him.
Yeah, no. A lot of the lower players have just been grinding it out.
Yep.
They look all right. It's the higher ups that are just like, I mean, Charlie Coyle, love ya.
And we've
trade
been,
bait.
Yeah. We've been playing the same song all year though. They have David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, and then the rest of the forwards are third liners who are playing on the first, on the second, you know. Even what's his name? The other Elias Lindholm hasn't been, you know, this guy I think we
untradeable, unfortunately,
yeah.
Due to contract. No one fucking wants him.
But
he's been fucking nothing.
Yeah, how about Brandon Carlo? He's been a long time B, huh?
Yes. Also on the trade block.
Yeah. That could be some. How long has he played? So he's played probably 10 years though? Yeah. I think like 10 years. 9-10, either way. 6'5 defenseman. I mean, that's good trade bait. But at the end of the day, is that a guy who's going to grow with this? And I think, you know, when you get a guy like Mason Lowry, who's that young, kind of makes guys like Brandon Carlo, who's been with the team for a while, kind of expendable. And then you have Hampus Lindholm and McAvoy eventually come back off injuries, talking about maybe next season probably at this point.
Fucking Lindholm cares.
Yeah. For a box of rocks, buddy.
He was so great when he first came over, but it's just been so bad the past year and a half.
Pastrnak, you know, I think he was on a 17, 18 point streak.
Pasta is still very good.
32 goals at this point in the season is pretty low for him, which is kind of nuts to say. But he should get to 40. You know, that should be a good year. You know,
that's
40
a great
and 60.
Year.
get over 100 points. I mean, that's...
When the teams are just gunning for you now because everyone else sucks, 40 is more impressive.
Well, yeah, that Minnesota loss the other night when they lost 1-0, I was like, okay, did Pastrnak just not play?
Who
else is going to score? That's been the whole thing all season of it's not about secondary scoring. It's just about actual scoring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like your secondary scorers are now your primary scorers outside of Pastrnak and when Marchand's in the lineup.
And as you say, the team definitely needs to be better in front of them, but end of the year, if they are going to do anything, or and going into next year, I mean, Swayman's going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Just has to be.
It can't be. Yeah, obviously, a season like this can't go on him. And catch 22 here, what's his name there, has played pretty damn well. Korpisalov?
Korpisalov? Yeah.
He's been playing pretty well.
No, has not been terrible.
So he's sitting, let's see, he's 10-6 with a 2.81 goals against average. Like, pretty good for a backup. I mean, this isn't like Swayman, Ullmark, where they're splitting games basically 50-50. Like, when you get the net once every 3-4 games, that's tough to come out with victories, especially with a struggling team.
And none of them have a Vezina since we traded away the Vezina winner.
Yeah, tough go.
which a lot of you people wanted.
Yeah. They had Tuukka on the broadcast last night, and I think he was like, upscaling his podcast or whatever he does. Like, everyone has a podcast now.
Future Hall of Famer, Tuukka Rask.
Oh, yeah. Best Bruins goalie in history. In history. Any hater can go fuck themselves. I'll defend that guy to the end of the day.
Good.
40 should be up there in the rafters. But he just keeps talking about, you know, Krejci, Bergeron. And, you know, the core is basically gone. I mean, Marchand's really the only one left, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Pastrnak's kind of part
Pause
of the
is
new.
Close, yeah.
Part he, of the new. I mean, Pastrnak's going to be... Nah, that's a hell of a call if I say Pastrnak's going to... Obviously, the best goal scorer probably out of them.
Oh,
you talk about
well,
that.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, that's not
best
close.
Player, I mean, Patrice Bergeron. I don't
also
know how
not
he's
close.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to beat that. We'll see. But
best shit talker, Brad Marchand,
yeah.
Not close. Like, they played their roles.
They did. They just came up pretty empty outside of 2011, and it's just tough to swallow. But you know what? Thanks for the memories. Depressing, huh?
I'm not going to be depressed about Patrice Bergeron on a day in my life. I love that man.
Oh, man.
Wish he was still playing. We'd be better.
Yeah, that video with his kids and McDavid was pretty good after the Canada one.
I know. How ridiculous. Yeah. We traded Trent Frederick and didn't get McDavid or Draisaitl.
Yeah, tough guy.
Absolutely ridiculous move by the Oilers.
Brutal.
Only one would have been fine.
Yeah. We did. When I was watching Bruins Penguins on Saturday, shout out to a couple guys, Vinny Ducharnay, friend of the pod, Ryan Shea. They were line mates.
Really?
On the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Stealing as effect.
And they look different. At least Vinny shaved his head. He looks like a fucking demon out there. Shout out, Vinny. We'll get him back on offseason.
We have a line of Pittsburgh Penguins on the pod. God damn it.
Yeah. The guy from Boston owns the team.
Yeah. Dark days.
We'll get into the NFL right now. Is free agent frenzy is supposed to start, I believe, next week. But I think it's a week from today. There's a lot of buzz out there in terms of, you know, free agents as Lockett just got cut by the Seahawks.
Yep.
T. Higgins just franchise tagged on the Bengals. Chris Godwin is out of Tampa. DK Metcalf today just announced his trade request from the Seattle Seahawks. And then there's plenty of other people. You know, you can get this star or whatever, but DK Metcalf has been I've been trying to have him be a Patriot since day one.
I love it. There is absolutely nothing we can offer for DK Metcalf.
No.
That was a trade. Free agency, we have a lot of cap space. A trade for DK Metcalf, like, we don't have a fucking thing.
Yeah. And I'm looking at a report here that it's going to at least cost the team a third-round pick. So that's not that bad.
Really? Yeah. Then we do stand a chance at that. No, vibes are high then.
The NFL's fucked because they value these, like, round picks way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
It would be a lot more than that, and they'd want, like, players and shit. Like, they just want draft picks. We could do that.
Like, Joe Tooney just got traded to the Bears. I think he was a fourth or fifth round pick. You're talking about an all-pro, you know, guard that's going to help your offensive line.
Yeah, what's he, like, a 4- or 5-time Super Bowl winner?
Yeah.
It's something crazy like that now.
You know what I mean? At what point are you like a first is not on the table? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, maybe first is crazy. Maybe I'm getting a little nuts there. But, like, second, third round pick, like, I would be like, yeah, fucking
yeah, take it. Yeah, but he came out in a heartbeat. I didn't know it would be like that. That's fucking in a second. We have a quarterback now. See, when everyone wanted the receiver when we didn't have a quarterback, that was when it didn't make sense to me. Now we have the quarterback. Now we can go get a fucking sick receiver.
At the same time, and they said the priority right now, the report has been the Patriots is just eyeing a wide receiver one. I heard there's been reports of Brandon Ayuk potentially being back on the scene where the Patriots are. I'm hearing, you know, maybe a pick or two or something like that. And then you hear about this Joe Milton trade stuff. And, like, I don't know how that anyone's going to really take that series out of a – basically a game in Rochester that the other team was trying to lose on purpose.
Has some good practice videos, though. Has some good practice
videos. He throws heat. He clearly, like, has, like, the arsenal. It's just no experience playing. And, like, they're talking – like, I even see some hypotheticals of, like, okay, give him to the Titans for the fourth pick and – him and the fourth pick for the first pick. I'm like, they take that, dude. That's the wildest thing I've probably ever heard in my life.
Yeah. And with Ayuk, I feel like that's hidden like the that's like the Patriot equivalent of like Jimmy Butler to the Celtics.
Yeah.
Like it's like the fucking reporters just run out of shit to say and then they're just like, well,
we
might get Brandon Ayuk.
It's the new DeAndre Hopkins.
It's like Larry Fitz back in the day, too.
I thought we got DeAndre Hopkins like 7 times and we didn't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like every fucking year, it's like Brandon Ayuk. T. Higgins is on that list, too.
Yeah. I have the UFAs for receivers. So not trading block. This is, you know, Devontae Adams released. I heard he wants to go back out West Coast. I think there's 0% chance he's a Patriot. So next.
Especially because, like, he's a guy, like, if he doesn't want to be there, he's going to act like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He's not going to, like...
Stephon Diggs I would take in a heartbeat, but one of the biggest losers in the NFL, probably going to go to Kansas City and win.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's lost to them so many times on different ends. I think he's just going to join him at this point.
And his, like, post-game conference when they beat the Bills to the AFC Championship will be amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bills fans.
It hurts for them. And then you go down the list, Keenan Allen's getting a little old, don't really care. Amari Cooper would be, you know, I mean, any of these guys would be an upgrade of what we have now. Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's played for every team now. Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin is still like 29 years old, still has the buzz coming off an injury. I don't think he would get as much money as he did would if he played the full season last year. And then you have these guys who are, you know, Deontay Johnson, who got cut from three teams last year. Christian Kirk just got cut by Jacksonville. DeAndre Hopkins is sitting at 33 years old, which isn't that old in my opinion.
No.
But a lot of guys on here who are just like in the middle here, not really any slam dunks. Like, I don't know. Devontae Adams would be a slam dunk, but I don't see the Patriots that. I don't see it happening.
No, I don't see that happening either.
As I get Nelson Agholor's on here, like you.
Yeah, no, absolutely there's some fucking
shit.
Not.
There's some shit there. Going on.
Yeah, but I would take like a Godwin at Kirk would be good, I think, for us, just because like they're better than what we have 100%. They're not that much because we need fucking everything.
Yeah.
So just like balling on a fucking receiver. Like we have a few more holes first. I know that's the flashy hole, but like this team needs a fucking
yeah,
lot.
I think you need a downtown guy, which would be an Amari Cooper, which would be a Chris Godwin. Type of guy.
No, like, that would work. But
yeah, like a Christian Kirk, Tyler Lockett, more like slot guys that we kind of already have that, like a DeMario Douglas or something. You need something that's get like a big game guy, and that's where it goes. All goes back to DK Metcalf. Like DK Metcalf, if the Patriots are able to, you know, hand them, you know, draft picks or whatever it will take to get the job done, that would be my first call because like he is clearly a game changer. You saw this season. I think the Patriots went down scoring them right away. And then before you knew it, it was an 80-yard bomb to DK Metcalf. We have zero guys in the program who could do that.
Zero.
So a guy like that would be nice. Brandon Ayuk still isn't like crazy proven to me. I'm sorry. I don't get the hype of Brandon Ayuk. I think he's, don't get me wrong, he's been a good player, but he's played with guys like unproven Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo. So you haven't really seen the best of him yet. And maybe you haven't.
And he's always been very much the third option where he would be number one.
Yeah. That's the problem with a lot of these guys, the Chris Godwins of the world. Amari Cooper's kind of been number one, mostly wherever he goes. But yeah, to the point, like the T. Higgins thing, I thought was a no from day one, but I don't think I'd want him as a number one. I think he should be in Cincinnati. They do well there. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of talk there. Mike Vrabel was at the combine last week. Good stuff. Seems like they want to get after it, but they don't want to like completely full of it. I know Elliot Wolf came and said we're not going to use all that money, and I personally fucking hate him until he does something right. Still
yeah,
hasn't done
sucks.
Anything good. But yeah, no, we're in grind mode. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
easy home schedule this year. Like I said, I'm rocking that. Until otherwise.
All right. The chances aren't that good still.
Yeah, no.
But gotta believe it's early. We'll see what happens in the draft.
With the Bruins maybe not heading the postseason this year, it's gotta be the first time in a long time only one team in Boston is in the playoffs. And ironically, they happen to win the championship. We're going on to them right now. The Boston Celtics, they're up right now by 20 points against the Portland Trail Blazers. Derek White has 29 points going off. Jason Tatum's got the night off. Seems like they're thriving. They're trying to get healthy at the right time. Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis been out. They were up by about 25 points on Cleveland last Friday, and they blew the lead in the fourth quarter. It just seems like they play all or nothing ball. But they need to play better in crunch time.
I was about to say, this is where it gets scary. Yep. They're about to be up 20.
Yeah.
This is where it gets fucking ugly.
Yep.
No, and it is crazy because it's how it seems like Cleveland, terrible collapse, got to be better. I know Cleveland is literally the number one team, but like that was a god-awful collapse. Absolutely puked on themselves. And then the Denver game, they went up by 20, exactly 20, turnovers on the next four possessions.
Yeah, that can't happen.
Like, in a row. Like, they go up by 20 and then just crumble.
The thing with the Cleveland game that scared me is Al Horford's getting old. If you don't have Kristaps out there, they, you know, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, they're out-rebounding the shit out of them. And then all of a sudden, I didn't understand that. Is it J.B. Bickerstaff that they're – no, that might have been their old coach. Either way,
Great name job.
Yeah, they brought in a smaller unit, and like I was just like, why move away from the thing you were dominating on was offensive boards and all the rebounding without Kristaps in the game. Like he wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
But Donovan Mitchell's a dog. He has to average over 35 points against the Celtics because he kills them every time. They don't have an answer for him. Whether, you know, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, good defenders, they don't have an answer for Donovan Mitchell. And if that comes down to a 7-game series and it goes to game 7 in Cleveland, it will be tough, but I don't think it will go that far. But it really all depends on who's healthy and who's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he is an absolute fucking badass. Like, Donovan Mitchell's the real deal.
He's the most underrated superstar in the whole league.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely argue the reason we won so handily in 5, he gets hurt. Yeah. That was one of the reasons everyone attacked us. I think we still, last year at least, definitely would have won.
It was going that way anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so easily, because he was definitely out, obviously. But I've said it on this pod like all year. I've been waiting for Cleveland to fall off. And they just won't.
And they
won't.
They're
not good.
No, they've been great. They. I was reading today, they're like, oh, who has a better chance to go to the finals, Cleveland or Oklahoma City? And it's like, all right, well, Cleveland has to beat the Celtics. Oklahoma City has to beat anyone in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Seems like a loaded question where you're just going to default to the Celtics. But how close is it? Because the Lakers have been playing the best basketball. They won 7 in a row. Denver, still, last time I checked, they still have the Joker and a great team. I mean, even that kid Braun the other day was fucking great.
Yeah.
He was sensational. And they wouldn't go away. As the Celtics were trying to put him away, they kept hitting shots. Murray, Porter, that's a good team, man. That's a really good team. And then even Golden State has come on. I think they've won 8 of their last 10 games with Jimmy Butler. So those are 4 teams I think can really, push to get to that spot in the NBA Finals. On the Eastern Conference side, I don't really see anyone, pushing those top 2 teams. I really don't see it. In the way it's...
I mean, it, like... 50 and 20 series from Giannis beats both of them, but like he has to do that.
Yeah. And I could, like, the way it's set up right now, if the second round happened and the top 4 seeds advanced to the second round, I could see Milwaukee giving Cleveland a run, but I don't see the Knicks. Like, I think that's like a 5-game series with the Celtics.
Yeah, no.
They haven't shown me any resilience, anything that, they've really pushed themselves. Oh, we have Cat now. That's just not a team that I think is a title contender. That's bottom line. So good stuff from the Celtics. It still seems like they're like running in circles, or jogging in circles, I should say, until this playoff starts, which I think they have, or they're sitting at 40. They'll be, if they win tonight, they'll be 44-18. That math is like 20 more games, call it. So,
love that math.
Yeah, 20 more games. Probably. Before we get to UFC, I'm going to hop into the 5 questions presented by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Last week, we got a little bit off the rails, but I'll just go straight to the topic right now. What popular fast food joint / like sub shop could you go without for the rest of your life that you've already had?
That I could go without that I've already had. That's a good question. Some of them suck so much. I'm going to say I've only had it once. So I'll never have it again. Moe's fucking, like the Chipotle, like Moe's Southwest Grill. Fucking see ya.
Welcome to Moe's.
Yeah. Oh, just get it off the planet.
Were you there was it in New Hampshire when you had it?
Yeah.
When the guy held the door for us and he was screaming.
Yeah, screaming welcome to Moe's.
Who was walking in.
Every single one. Yeah. And then it was a terrible burrito. That place got awful.
Yeah. I never actually officially had it, but... when I was, I think, a college, like, super senior, I got a delivery job for 3 months at Jimmy John's, and they offered me free sandwiches. I wouldn't do it, dude. They didn't have a damn toaster. And then the guy actually, I will get, I'll leave it private, but he was just like, yeah, I could have, like, put my money into, like, any fast food joint here, and I chose Jimmy John's. Like, you chose Jimmy John's.
That's a tough scene.
Tips were shit.
Jimmy John's is up tough. There.
It's like really bad.
It's very high up on the list.
I actually
might switch my pick to Jimmy John's. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh wow! So you're taking mine?
No. Yeah, I can't do. Yeah, because they both suck.
The Jersey Mike's isn't bad. That's like an actual sub shop. It's pretty good. Question number two is just pretty blunt. Would you rather in life no arms or no legs? Like that's.
I can play video games with hands. I think I go hands.
Really? I'd like to move around.
You could have wheelchairs. Dude, they're going to have fucking prosthetics. Dude, it's going to be fine.
That would hurt for a little bit. I'd go legs. I don't know, dude. I like to move around.
There are people.
I already have small enough arms as it is.
Yeah, right. You don't get it.
I'm going legs, bro. I want to move around. Bottom line.
I want to ride around. You walk like a fucking pilgrim.
No, I'll be the
I'm going to be like levitating, dude. Grow up.
If I had no arms and all legs, I'd be like the best marathon runner ever. That's all I would focus on.
Okay.
That's a lot of talk, though.
That's a ton of talk.
Place you could teleport from. Question number three. Place you could teleport from back and forth. So have you ever seen the motion picture Jumper?
Have you seen that?
Just like what one place would you be like going back and forth?
Honky Tonk Central.
I knew you were going to nail that. I knew that was it.
With like no hesitation.
Yeah. I mean, the easy answer would just be like a bank vault where I could just steal shit the whole time. But if I was going to, I don't know, dude. Down to Miami on the beaches seems like a pretty easy option. What else is there? Maybe Hattie, but I can't go to Nashville. You went to Nashville.
Get out of my fucking chopper loop. Well, that's dude. Like, get the fuck out of here.
When I was thinking of this question, I'm like, wow, I need to visit more places because there's like five places that I can choose from, and that's probably all I've ever traveled to.
And it's
outside of the region.
Certainly isn't Cleveland.
No, that's the last place that beat down motel.
Would not use that power to go there.
That's tough. We might have mentioned this on the pod before, but I thought I'd throw it in there again. Best fan sports moment of your life?
Sean Thornton, fucking penalty shot.
Oh, when he does the backhand?
Yeah, was there. Oh, wow. Probably the loudest I've ever heard the garden fucking rocking.
Oh, wow. I'm going to stay on the Bruins here, and I'm going to have to go 2011 parade. I think it was easily the best parade I've ever been to.
Oh, I thought you meant like games attended. The 2011 parade is fucking.
Because it was a summer parade. Bruins never win. What was 2011? So we're talking about being like 17, 18 years old. I remember pre-gaming at the crib, 7 a.m., hitting the red line, watching people throw up. And then people didn't survive that day. And then I think it was like Flag Day that night. That was a lot going on.
It was a war.
Yeah, people getting caught pissing. It was tough.
Yeah, happens to the basketball.
And then like number five, the all time, food question, back on the food here. Like gun to your head, steak and cheese or chicken palm? Like what are you ordering?
Steak and cheese, steak bomb, everything on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love both of these.
Yeah.
I want to make that clear. I'm not slandering chicken parm.
Gun to the head, I think I'm going chicken parm. I like just, the comfort is just everything. Steak and cheese, you can kind of, differentiate it so much. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You can load it up. You can put nothing on it.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like chicken parm is like chicken parm. Like steak and cheese, I can get fucking whatever I want on it.
Yeah.
And I am a person that gets what, like, I don't order just steak and cheese. Like, I'm like, they're like, what do you want on it? I'll be like, everything, every time. I want it all.
But also, ordering a steak and cheese at a place you don't, kind of risky biz. Because, like, there could be no cheese on it. The steak could be, like, fluttered. Chicken parm, you're kind of, like, it could suck, but at least it's just, what you're getting. It's kind of just like chicken and like mozzarella, like cheese. And
if you don't go crazy and order stuff like what I was just saying, you should know what you're getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Like it's steak and cheese and like it's chicken, parmesan and sauce.
I don't know. I've gotten steak and cheese before where they just like that little shredded steak.
Oh yeah. No, I've gotten bad of each.
Yep. I just think you're less likely to get an effective bad chicken parm called sub than a steak and cheese. That's the debate there. That's five questions presented by the Law Office of Patrick J.
Steak
Foley.
And cheese. Like and subscribe.
Yep, like and subscribe, I guess. UFC 313, they got our picks. Between Alex Pereira, who's been an absolute dog from Brazil, against Magomed Enkolev.
You nailed it earlier.
Oh, damn. So we got Russia versus Brazil here. I'll never go against Alex Pereira. My analysis is probably not good enough. I just love watching the fights at, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, couple beers, get it going, ESPN Plus, order it on. Not the best card I've ever seen, but not the worst. Great. I mean, great. You have a great main event.
Yeah, well,
that's a great one.
That'll be a good one. I mean, he's on a 2-fight win streak. He almost won the title when Jan had the title for that division. That was like a very close fight. They called a draw. He was very pissed about it. But as you just said, Alex Pereira has hit the air of like, not like all time, but like where he is right this second of like Usman back in the day. Like Jones or Khabib or something. Like, I'm just not putting my money against that guy.
No.
There's just no fucking way.
It's basically even odds.
Alex Pereira is going to lose.
I mean, you have
no, because that guy's fucking huge. If that guy hits you, like, you're going to be hurt.
You have a guy that wrestles bears and then another guy who, like, would literally eat someone's heart.
Yeah.
So, like, pick your poison there, man. That's tough.
But I also cannot wait for the co-main event.
I was saying,
because they fought and it was an absolute stand-up banger. And that's what I love in the UFC. And I hope they run it right back just like that.
Oh, is this a rematch?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Who won the first one?
Majority decision. Two had 29-28 Gaethje, and one judge had it as a draw.
So,
just fucking scrapped.
So Gaethje won?
Yes.
Okay. Because this guy, Fiziev, is that?
Fiziev, yeah.
Fiziev. From like Uzbekistan, one of those.
And like watch some highlights because like he gets like Fiziev gets a cut under his eye. Like if you just look at like what they look like after, like you don't know what happened. Yeah. You would have thought he got absolutely annihilated.
Well, he's the clear favorite here. He's like -160.
No, they're both badasses. And you got Gaethje. And Gaethje's one of my all-time favorites. Yeah. I fucking love that guy.
Not dog.
But this is his first fight back from getting absolutely fucking annihilated by Max Holloway. So like,
this is the first fight since that.
Yeah, this is his first time back in an octagon since getting like all time slapped.
in to his defense, it wasn't.
Oh no, they were just standing like that. But like
he did get slapped, but it wasn't. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unconsciously down.
That was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. I mean, Max Holloway's a bad man. Clearly, Gaethje has like in terms of like the people he's fought down the list, he's fought the best of the best.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
oh yeah.
Let's view his fight history. So, I mean, he fought Dustin Poirier, fought Holloway. I think that's all it's going to show me here. Maybe load more. Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler, Khabib. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. No, he's
Ferguson, Cerrone. All these guys are, you know, even Leo Barboza here. Fucking.
Yeah, outside of, like, something that might have happened very early in his career, like, none of the losses on that man's record are anything to be ashamed of.
No. The only ones he's lost to is Oliveira, which he probably choked him out submission, and then Khabib, who is one of the best to ever do it. So that's it's gonna be interesting.
Well, it should be a good one. Love a scrap like
26 and 5. I mean, that's a pretty damn good record. Nickname the highlight. That's one that I didn't know. That's all I have for UFC 313. That's Saturday night, right? ESPN Plus.
Yes.
Little bit spring training. Garrett Crochet came out today like a man possessed. 3 innings, 7 Ks, reached over 101. This team's going places this year. If you don't know, Walker Buehler pitched pretty well yesterday. They have a up and down great rotation. 1 through 9 is looking there. The young kids are pushing everyone. Their best player, Rafi Devers, isn't ready because he's fucking snacking. He's too afraid of being a $30 million DH, which is honestly the American dream.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly about to tell him to go fuck himself, but we're not there yet. We're not there.
Yeah, no, this great starting rotation. How many of them have over 4 innings pitched?
Wait, what do you mean?
Just tell me. No, this great starting rotation.
4 innings pitched?
Yeah.
Like this,
it's the beginning, yeah. Spring trading.
Oh no! I'm just saying that it's destined to be Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, Tanner Houck, who had a career year last year, and then Bayo when he gets healthy. And then you have Lucas Giolito, who you don't know what you're going to get because he's coming off an injury. Would love to see the five there get going. And honestly, want to give a big shout out here. Didn't even know he was in the organization until the other day where he started a game for the Red Sox. Big shout out, Middleborough's own Sean Newcomb came out. I think he's thrown four innings this year, a couple K's. Yeah. So when I was a junior in high school, he was a senior. I think I got on base. I was the winning run, and there was no outs, and they brought him in the close, and he struck out three straight Quincy Presidents out on three pitches each. Wow. Immaculate.
Yeah. Joe in Milwaukee, one of his old roommates, is like best friends with that guy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Shout out Kingsley. Shout out Radcliffe. He's our age, 31. Has been up and down, minor league, major league. I think he'll start the season in Worcester. But, he throws good, he's good at fastball, good live stuff. Would love to see him.
Yeah, because when he was on the Braves, he had like a great start, but then like an injury happened or something, and he just like never got it back. Or something like that.
I mean, he's first round pick.
Yeah, exactly. I forget what happened, but it was like he like went down and just like.
He didn't get back.
Like there was like Freed, Soroka, and like they just fucking took over.
Well, yeah, he was a starter. He kept getting shelled, and then they brought him in the bullpen, and then he just couldn't throw strikes or something like that. And it's a tough world out there, dude. There's so many baseball players that has to be like, unless you're like even if you're a bona fide number one pick, dude, nothing is guaranteed in baseball. That's like the craziest thing to me.
Especially if you're a reliever these days, because even if you throw like 100, like so does like. Everyone 90 else. Billion every you know what I mean?
Especially the like relievers who are most like starters who throw like mid 90s could probably, if it was one inning, could touch 100 miles an hour. They just choose not because it's like it's like a marathon, not a sprint, if you want to do that comparison. But all good is on the Red Sox front here. I'm loving every second of spring training baseball. Adam Ottavino probably gonna make the team, former New York Yankee. Good to see here. Would love to see Marcelo Meyer get some time this year. Christian Campbell just got his first hit the other day. Tough go. Middle infield looking good with Trevor Story and Alex Bregman. We'll see.
It's two terrible people.
Two pretty good players.
No, it's awful.
How about the Yankees? Any insight on that, or we just don't really care?
I got Paul Goldschmidt hitting home run for the Yankees, so I'm jacked up.
Well, he's got to be hot. He's got to be like 37. 38.
No, he's up there. Like, he's not winning the MVP. He ain't that Paul Goldschmidt.
Plays
like,
good defense, maybe like 20 jacks with that right field wall. I know he's a big opera.
Like, yeah, he's still there.
Oppo Taco guy. Still have Stanton. Probably on steroids, but dope.
No, he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Might
of
be better off for the team, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I have on that front too.
Garrett Cole looks good though.
Garrett Cole looks good. Gun to your head. Travis Hunter doesn't get picked in the first three picks in the NFL draft. You taking him?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're taking him. You gotta take him. He's a player.
Yeah. I think will not be there though. Like I'm not like...
Yeah, and I just don't understand these like the NFL is so different. Like he can easily play receiver in DB strictly because they can just throw them in different packages. Be like, all right, you're not playing like first, second down. You're coming in on third down. Okay, I think he's only 6'1", so he might not be the best, goal line guy. I was thinking that maybe could be like in that goal line package. But be interesting to see. Couple shows I've seen on the horizon. I have to keep bringing up Severance because it's probably like top. It's only in the second season, and it's probably the top five shows I've ever seen in my entire life. Just the whole thought process and everything. You probably, if you've heard me, you know what it is by now. That work, they have, a different life than when they're at home, and they have a chip in their brain so they don't remember everything when they come home. And there's just a lot of different dynamics to it. Adam McKay stars. Ben Stiller is the director. It's Apple TV, dude. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it yet, you have to go watch it.
Must watch.
It's a must watch. And then I
have not caught it yet.
Actually, I just finished it the other day. New Netflix show, Running Point with Kate Hudson. Basically, like.
That's just not what I was going to say. Like, carry on. Yeah. I thought you were going to say.
Justin Theroux, the guy from
Leftovers.
Leftovers.
Stud.
They're basically like the genie buses of this Los Angeles basketball team. They call them the Waves. It's definitely meant to be the Lakers, but like. don't know, this shit. Macaulay Culkin was in the last episode. It was nuts.
Culkins are taking over, man.
Yeah.
Younger ones winning awards and shit.
He dates Brenda Song. Brenda Song, like, is one of the stars in the show.
And speaking of TV shows with basketball, you see the Celtics show yet?
Oh, yeah. That was...
I'm only halfway through, but, I get it.
I sometimes fall asleep when they talk about, like, basketball in the 50s, but that was a good watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole Bob Cousy effect and...
Some of those Cousy highlights were electric. Like, so I could only imagine what they were like in the 1950s. Like, that must have crumbled people's brains.
Dude.
When he went, like, behind the back and did a pass.
Dude, the whole shot of, like, I think Sam Jones was their guy. He would dribble till, like basically a fast break, but then he would just pull up with everyone in front of him, like, probably 5-10 feet away from the basket and just drill it. And that was, like, the point of emphasis in basketball back then. Like, that is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, Bill Russell was this type of player that he could play in the NBA today. Yeah. I mean, he was so dominant. Even the whole him versus Wilt Chamberlain, everyone talks how highly Wilt Chamberlain after averaged like 50 points in a game one year. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, Bill Russell just year after year just taking his lunch money in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, and I love that guy who is like, yeah, like, that first championship, like, Bill Russell – scoring the basket, then running all the way back and getting the block. They were they had Tommy Heinsohn like telling the story, and the like reporter was like, yeah, that story's kind of grown from Tommy telling it all. he was like, yes, Tommy, like, he ran faster than any fucking man ever.
it's
he flew through the air like no man alive. Yeah, like, fucking,
it was basically like the LeBron block.
Yeah,
like, it's one of those. But I mean, it's probably just gonna, it starts in the beginning and it kind of talks about, you know, the whole history, and then it gets in the beginning, and I'm sure as it goes episode to episode, it'll keep going till present day. I mean, I think that's
probably... Oh, yeah, it's probably like a decade per episode, I would imagine. I don't know how many episodes it is. I haven't even, like, looked that up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But it was pretty good.
That running point is... Oh, no, I'll tell you after the show, because I don't want to ruin for the listeners, but there's a fucking hilarious part that we would love. I have to say it. I'll wrap out here. I'll give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Law Office of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for proper legal representation, closing, you know, out your first, you know, home or anything like that, real estate wise, look no further than Law Office of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Worley Street in Quincy, Massachusetts. That's episode 183 in the books. Big shout out to Hedgebetter and producer Justin for doing what you do. Anything else, Steele?
That's it.
Hey, Rags. That's it.
Hey, Rags. Go Celtics. Go Bruins.